make sure that their trip or event or party is so memorable that they can't wait to come back.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where professionals in the attractions business can get tips, tools, and even a bit of inspiration.
Join us as we tackle some of the most important topics facing the attractions industry today and gain insights from some of the top leaders, creators, and influencers from the exciting world of theme parks, zoos, museums, aquariums, and family entertainment centers.
Because this show is created by attraction pros for attraction pros. I am Josh Liebman, Director of Business Development for Amusement Advantage. I help attractions understand and improve their guest experience.
And I'm Matt Heller, founder of Performance Optimist Consulting. I help leaders lead and work with attractions to increase employee engagement and retention.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and enjoy the leading resource for attractions industry professionals, the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Excellent, Josh. How about yourself?
I am doing well. I don't think this episode needs any big fancy introduction, because if you were listening to our last episode, you know that that was part one and that this is part two of our interview with Cheryl Bindleglass, CEO of Cheryl Golf. If you have not listened to the first part, hit pause right now on this episode. Go back, listen to part one, because this is one long flowing conversation, so you cannot miss the first part. And then we are getting to the second half of this interview right now.
Sure.
Let's talk for one, or more than a minute, I guess, on the Wow.
Yeah, so I would love to hear just, you know, some of the best ways to achieve some outbound sales and really energizing, you know, the sales staff to, you know, to get out there and actively bring in the groups.
So let's start with the concept when we're talking about, is everybody a born salesperson or not? I don't know anybody that wakes up in the morning and goes, oh yay, I get to do 10 cold calls today. Oh, awesome. You know, I just haven't heard that from a lot of people.
I've never done it.
Josh, how about you?
It depends. It depends on what I'm selling. Sometimes I get excited, but then, you know, if I have to do 10 and after like five or six, like I'm not getting anywhere with it, you know, my energy's starting to wear down a little bit. I'm right. Like, why can't I just, you know, hit everyone out of the park? You know, it gets kind of tough. It's not the easiest.
Well, it really, really does. And I think, you know, when we were talking and I was thinking a minute ago about the outbound sales, what are the best ways to achieve that? And it has to be, and now this word, I've used it for 20 years, now all of a sudden it's becoming a real word, but I believe in gamification. Gamification includes, how do we make this fun? How do we make it a game? Even if you're only one salesperson on a property, or even if you're you have two jobs. I thought about that. I always wonder when you do those things, oh yeah, 2.5 people come in that group, who's a half a person? if you figure it out, let me know. So I think when you're looking at those things, how are you making it fun? You can do something as simple as what I call a penny war. And this came from when we were in elementary school, and every time you did something, they put a penny in a jar. So I stole it from some teacher years ago. Here's what we do. Every call you make, you put a penny in. You put a penny in. And you're like, okay, that jar has more pennies. But every time you get somebody on the phone, you get to put a dime in. A dime, 10 cents. After that, if you close that deal, you put a quarter in. So when your week is done and you empty that jar, you're going to see that it balances out. There are going to be some weeks where you've got more pennies, but when you get to say, well, the pennies are, you add, the dimes and quarters you subtract, you're going to be in the win column. So that's just one quick thing. I think when I looked back at our property, and I told you with the first 5 years we were amazing order takers, and then we became sales makers, that's when we started to do the outbound calls. That's when we started to say, and by the way, the first year we were not great. It was kind of the spray and pray theory. Oh, let's just call here. Let's call there. Mm-hmm. That was not a good theory. Now I tell you, you have to have a plan. And you have to work your plan. And the plan includes creating a one-page target map. Very simple activity to do. Because if you know not when groups are actually there, for example, a guy said to me 2 weeks ago, I can't believe that last year we didn't have any project graduations or grad nights. That's where they buy out the whole park. And I said, well, when did you call them? He said, I called them in May. And I said, you called them in May for June? He said, yes. Everybody told me you must call 6 weeks in advance. I'm like, okay, well, I hope you were calling that May for the next June. He goes, what? Yeah, that's when some of them are booking. Either, and you have to know your area. It could have been May, or for some, it's their first weeknight in September. So put it on that target group calendar. So that to me is, you know, have a plan, work your plan, but know what your target is and have a target map. You've heard people say, and I've said it more than two or three times, if you can't see the target, you can't hit the target.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you clearly have to know what your sales cycle is too, that if you've, you know, if you're looking to do a total park buyout in June, and knowing that, you know, if you're calling in May, that it's a 13-month sales cycle, now we're talking about the next June, you know, something like that. That's, you know, you got to know that on your calendar, and you have to project and budget for that. You can't expect to get that revenue, you know, that same year, the, you know, 6 weeks after, you know, you're just making those cold calls. You know, another thing too, actually, is the example you were giving about the pennies, you know, the pennies in the jar. What it reminds me of something I read a few years ago. Have you ever read any books by Jeffrey Fox? Or if you've heard of him?
I've heard of him. I'm trying to think, what's the title of the book?
It was, it has to do with, what was it? Wasn't Sales Superstar, wasn't Rockstar, it was, wow, I'm blanking on the name of the book, I'll find it in a second, but it was a really similar exercise, but it was with points. So I actually think yours is better, because there's a physical, now you're actually, there's the tangible, like, coins in it, but it was like, you get 1 point for getting the lead, like 2 points for having the conversation with the qualified buyer, 3 points for getting to the proposal, and 4 points for closing the sale. I think it was something like that. And he said, your goal for every week should be to get to 20 points any way you can, you know, so, you know, track the points. And, you know, as long as you get to 20, then you should be, you know, then you're on pace.
No,
find
I
think
the name
that's, of that book.
Oh, I just gotta look for that. And I'll say, so
Rainmaker, how to become a Rainmaker.
Oh my gosh, okay. Yeah, I have a friend, Ed Robinson, who also wrote an amazing book, The Rainmaker. I'm sure I read it. I'll have to go down and check my library. But I think what you were saying is so important. It doesn't matter whether, and I do a game called Get the Point, where all mm-hmm. the teams, we divide the whole staff up, and they have to give us leads, and, you know, they only get the point if it's somebody new that we haven't had. And the more you can make it fun and engaging and interactive for everybody, the more fun you're going to have. If I just say, keep calling, keep calling, keep calling, that's not as much fun. You know, when you asked me a few minutes ago, you know, what are some of the best ways for those outbound calls? I have a quote, a theory, something that I try and teach everybody, which is 5 by 10. 5 by 10. And this works for anything. It works for getting a new job. It works for getting groups. It works for getting staff, recruiting. It has worked for everything. Basically, 5 by 10 means you must make 5 calls, contact, connections by 10 a.m. Mm. After 10 a.m.
That's a good one.
What happens after 10 a.m. in a park, Josh?
It goes into a frenzy.
Yes.
You're open, you're busy, you're, you know, get screaming kids already.
That's right.
Exactly. You know, it's, hey, I need group sales out here to come check people in. I need that. And it's like, oh, I'm in the middle of my calls. And I will even say that's your power hour. You put a sign on that door. Do not interrupt. Do not, unless the building is burning down, then that's an exception. So that's a story for another day. It's all important, but 5 by 10, you get that discipline, and people are like, that's not enough calls. That's nice. It's quality, not quantity. I would sooner have Matt call five amazing people that he has the potential of closing than just dial and smile and hang up. Oh, I called this one. I called this one. Mm-hmm. You didn't connect and you didn't get any further. So 5x10 worked great for everything except one day I'm teaching this at Temple University as a favor for someone. On this class on marketing, how to get, you know, land your job. And I had already done this before, and I had students sending me thank you notes. 5x10 works great. I got the interview. Everybody loves it. This one kid raises his hand. I said, yes. He said, could you explain it again? I explained it a different way. I moved to the next topic. He raises his hand, and I said, yes, Gary. He said, that's just not going to work. I said, Gary, why do you think that concept doesn't work? He said, all due respect, ma'am. I was like, oh, here comes the ma'am. We're college students. We don't get up before noon.
Guess okay, what?
Congratulations, Gary. You don't have to do 5x10. He goes, I told you. I said, you get to do 10x5. He goes, whoa. I said, you know what? You can't make those calls before 10. You're going to have to double it up because it's going to be harder to reach people once their day gets started. But that's probably the only time that somebody told me, ma'am, that's not going to work.
Right. That's the quality over quantity, you know, calling the qualified leads versus what do you say, dial and smile and, you know, spray and pray. And you know, I think of, I had a sales job, you know, many years ago, and I remember learning law of averages and just saying like, okay, if this is, you know, what the goal is to close, then I need to make this many calls, which means that my prospect list needs to be this big. And I'm wondering, you know, how that ties in to, you know, making sure you're calling those qualified leads. Because now I'm also thinking of that scene from, you ever see The Wolf of Wall Street? Where Jordan Belfort is giving that big epic speech, and he's like, pick up the phone and start dialing, and they're all just like going crazy in the office. So I feel like that, you know, he was referring to just, you know, just spray and pray, just call everyone you can. But then, you know, you're saying, you know, making sure that you're calling those qualified leads. So how does that, you know, how do those two, I guess, interact with each other as far as, you know, knowing that the more calls you're going to make, you know, are going to result in higher sales, but making sure that you are also, calling more quality over quantity.
Great question. And I'm going to throw it back to you and Matt for just a minute and say, would you do a quick activity with me?
Sure.
You guys are so good. Look, you guessed what my first job was. Now, you've both done a little bit of sales at some point. If I said you're at an amusement park and you had to call five people, of those five, how many people do you think you could close? Matt first. If you made five calls, how many of those calls do you think you could close that?
So are you saying that I am in a... like a sales position at an amusement park? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I don't know if I go with Josh's law of averages, I could close three.
Okay, Josh, how many can you close?
I think three is really high, 60%. You know, if I... you know, normally, you know, if I'm thinking like, oh, okay, you know, maybe one in 10 will close, then, you know, I'm closing 0.5. Or I guess rounded down to zero.
Wow. I'm going to...
not that I don't have confidence in myself. Okay, I'm going to close one. I'm going to close 20%. I'm going to be conservative.
You're a much higher achiever. Let's go with Josh's little number of one. Remind you, these are really great leads at the right time, the right person. So if you're closing one out of five and you're doing this every day, you're going to get five new sales every week. And let's say the average sale is, we'll go on the low side, $500.
It's pretty conservative. Sure. Yeah. I would say that's so. I mean, that's a big birthday party, but you know.
Well, I'm saying, we're not even worried about birthdays. We're doing group sales for corporations and businesses and schools and camps.
So that's probably on the low end then.
All right. We'll do 1,000 because it's an easy number. So each week you're going to do at least $5,000 more in revenue. If you do that times and we're going to give you 2 weeks off for vacation, times 50 weeks, what do you get?
250,000? Or is it 2.5 million? It's too early to do math.
Wow, I figured one of you had your phone out or your calculator for that.
If I'm making 5,000, yeah, 5,000 times 50, we're looking at 250,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was right the first time. Yeah, then I second guessed myself.
I was just going to let you go on that one for a minute.
Thanks, so appreciate it.
I didn't want to interrupt your thought process.
You can throw me a lifeline here, you know.
So if you are a business owner and you sit there and say our average sales are, you know, 250,000 for groups for the year, and now you put this into place and you generate an extra 250,000, you have doubled where you were last year. And instead of making a quarter of $1 million, you've now made $500,000. It's so simple when you look at it that way. So I'm going to share a story, and this goes back many, many, many years ago with one of the earlier groups that I was training. It was a franchise group and corporate mixed together, and the one girl just shook her head in total amazement. And afterwards, she came up and she said, I can't believe it's that simple to hit my goal. I am stealing this and doing this, and I promise you, I am going to grow our sales. That little activity inspired her so much. She called me and she said, you know, my sales are at 380,000. And I said, yes, because I had all the store locations. She said, I want to make $1 million in sales. And I said, wow, that's a great, great goal, but it's really high. I don't think even I could do that in 1 year. So she said, I'll give you more than a year. Can you help me hit that goal? She went from 380,000 to over $1 million in group sales without any alcohol. Not for her. Wow. I mean, for the group.
Oh, for her, sure. For the group. Yeah. I realized that after a second, but I was like,
yeah,
she had some celebratory cocktails after that.
No. But her park had no alcohol permitted. So that's a huge number to jump to. But it was all based on the 5x10 that she realized it's so much more achievable in those little bite sizes. So that's it works. I've not had – oh, that's not true. I had one person where it did not work, and I said, there's no way that they're making all those calls. That person ended up getting terminated because I don't think they made more than 5 calls the whole week.
Gotta hold up your end of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to make the calls. If you're not making the calls, you're not going to get the sales. You know, you asked, you know, if the phone's, you know, is it okay to get the phone ringing? You can do anything you can to help out on the inbound, but you still, if you don't pick up that phone and start making some of those calls, you're not going to continue to grow your sales.
Gotta pick up the phone and start dialing. Now, yeah. One of the things, I'm wondering too, if you're in that sales role, and let's say you're either given the quota or, you know, the example you just gave of this girl who was at 380, she wanted to take it to a million. How do I phrase this? Should you be doing the math and kind of breaking down your day based on the budget you want to hit, or do you want to plan for way over to give yourself, you know, a little bit of margin of error? You know, another author who I've read from is Grant Cardone. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's got the 10x, you know, practice. So, you know, if I was, I guess, you know, this girl you were talking about in this exact situation, I would say, okay, $1 million. Well, what does 10 million look like? And I'm going to work back from there. And, you know, I'm probably not going to hit 10 million, but I'm probably going to go way over a million if I can, you know, at least exceed 10% of my goal.
So I think when you go back to, you know, the 10X concept and you go back to the calls and different things, owners struggle more than anything coming up with what I call a comp plan that's achievable and realistic for both sides. And it's not just I can look at your numbers and say, oh, you know, I've done 20 of these this year. Let me just do, 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 do. Every park is totally different. You know, what's the capacity at Six Flags? Can they handle more? What's the capacity at an FEC? Can the boat? So you have to have all the information before you can create it. But in creating it, we do it in several different ways so that they can achieve the goal. But I like to have what's called a plus plus. So we start with your base number is every month you generated, and these are really no, low numbers, but we didn't do so well with math earlier. Every month you do, sorry.
Thanks.
So if you do $10,000 each month, you know that you're going to do $120,000 for the year. Well, if an owner says, well, I want to do $500,000, that's a huge jump. So we ask, what's the action plan? How are you going to get there? You know, we have to analyze how many buyouts did you have? How many lock-ins? What percentage of your, we do a pie chart. What percentage are lock-ins? What percentage are schools? What percentage are, you know, and we analyze all the information and I can say to them, I'm sorry, but this one vertical market, you don't have enough in your area to really grow that segment. But here's a segment you have not tapped into at all. And I think there you could probably generate $50,000. So you, it's not a quick, simple answer, Josh. Sorry. It really, it requires a lot of detailed analysis and looking at where you are. But the plus plus part comes in. If you did that 10,000, well, we know just by keeping our doors open and doing a good job, we're going to grow by 10% every year on the group sales. So if your base now, if you don't hit 10,000 plus 10%, you're not going to get your initial bonus. But if you hit your reach goal, then you get a second bonus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of mm-hmm. kind of like an accelerator type of plan. Exactly. Yeah. So is that, you know, I would love to hear, you know, I guess kind of what are some of the best things that you've seen, you know, from a compensation plan, you know, whether you've seen kind of a you know, different percentage, you know, is there a sweet spot, you know, of percentage combined with, you know, their actual base pay, you know, and kind of what that accelerator, you know, usually looks like.
Great. I think most salespeople are motivated not just by satisfaction in all these groups, but they're also motivated by money. And right. whether the comp plans, and I've seen comp plans run the gamut from 1%, 3%, 5%. One guy has a 10% bonus. It depends on what their base salary is. That determines, you know, if you know that your top salesperson could work any place else and make $75,000, why are they going to work for you for a base pay of 30 and their bonuses are only going to come up to 20, so they're only going to get 50,000. Are you going to lose them because somebody's going to walk in and say, hey, you're really awesome at what you do. Come work for me and I'm going to start you and you're going to get this, 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 this. So there is no, quote, magic potion. I like to see a really decent base pay, a 3%, a 5%, and then a super, super bonus like for that one girl. If you hit that $1 million mark, what's important to her? Do you want a trip to Mexico? Do you want a $5,000 bonus? You know, and somebody's like, well, why are we giving them that much? I said, they brought you $1 million of business.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, you
throw
were only
a few thousand back.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, without them, you're only going to be at maybe 400,000, 450. So that was a non-answer to a question, but it's an answer.
Well, it's, you know, at least it was, you know, it was conceptual. You know, it's really of taking a look at, you know, combining kind of, you know, making sure that they are, you know, situated with a good base salary that is, well, actually, no, I am curious about, you know, kind of the, what the standard is, you know, for base salary, you know, in that standpoint, should the base salary in that case be a livable wage within a smaller commission, or should it be, you know, should it be even smaller, you know, with a larger commission and the opportunity to make substantially more than if they were paid a higher base salary? If that, you know, if that makes sense, you know, there was, you know, I was telling you, you know, several years ago, you know, I had a sales role. It was, you know, kind of just right when I was finishing up grad school, where my base pay was actually, it was just minimum wage because that was the lowest that they were able to. But then the commission, you know, was like 18-20% of, you know, of the product and whatnot. And the business model was basically like, if the employee is making minimum wage, then the business is actually losing money. So it's kind of a lose-lose. And it turned out, you know, in you know, some cases, you know, maybe fluctuated a little bit more, but in some cases, you know, it was substantially more than if I was making, you know, an actual salary way back then.
I think it really depends on a lot of factors. I've seen base pays as low as $25,000. Some of them are $30,000, $50,000. Where are they living? What's the cost of living there?
True.
Do you have that they can actually sell? Are they going, you know, do you have a bad reputation? Do you have no marketing materials? Yeah. Are they not going to be able to get the sales and they're going to be in and out the door so fast? They really generate a ton of money to your bottom line. So each person, when we do a comp plan, we look at probably 20 different factors. And once we analyze that, then we can help them create that comp plan. I don't think I've done two comp plans that are exactly the same in all these years.
Okay, so the answer is there is no cookie cutter, basically. there is no industry kind of ubiquitous standard.
No, I think if you look at maybe Dave & Buster's or Main Event or some of those places that are doing multiple locations, they probably have their set standards that they use.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but company wide at least.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
So that begs the question for me. Looking at it from a kind of right fit standpoint, you know, getting the right people in those positions so that whatever your bonus structure is, that they're striving for it so they can make the sale. What sort of things do you look for in a rock star salesperson that, you know, will want to go out and make the calls and have the meetings and close the deals and, you know, all those type of things that they need to do to be successful in that type of role?
I love the word rock star. Thank you. That's what I call the girl who was my first million-dollar girl. She's my rock star. So rock stars need to be able to perform on stage at a given any moment. It's like, hey, you're the leader of the band. Throw up there and we've got this thing. We want to see you play and perform. And it is a performance. And I think salespeople perform in a similar passion, in a similar way. They practice for their band. We practice for the sale. You need to have someone, I love somebody with passion, that they really love what they're selling, love what they're doing. They need to be persistent. Not pesky, but persistent. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know those pesky people that call you? You should have them call one of those, oh my gosh, as seen on TV. I do this as part of a training every now and then. As seen on TV, you call in, but wait, before you hang up, we will give you four more refills, and then we will give you this. And I was like, wow, talk about upsell at the best. I think they need to be able to handle a little bit of rejection, because there are going to be days where, in that 5x10, you're going to get five people who are going to say, nope, not for us, not the right time, nope. You have to be able to hear the word no and not get really frazzled by it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a rock star has to pitch a song to, you know, get picked up. Well, you're pitching your proposals to all these different places. So I think one of the earliest setbacks for me when I was doing the group sales, and, you know, the craziest thing is I'm wearing multiple hats, executive vice president. No, now I'm doing group sales. No, now I'm doing birthday parties. Now I'm doing food and beverage, which I was not good at. In terms of my biggest setback, I had worked back and forth with a pharmaceutical company. I think we had 8 calls, 6 emails, 2 site visits. I mean, we really worked hard because it was a really nice piece of business. And at the very last minute, they called us and said, you know what, we were so close to doing it with you, but we're going to go to the park and do it at the park for free. I was like, oh no, not the park. You know, go to my competitor, but don't go to the park. I was like, okay, so I thought it was a slam dunk. We were so close. And here's how I took that negative and flipped it to a positive as it could be, which was, you know what? I'm going to send them a good luck card. Good luck with your event. Hope it goes great. Look forward to having you stop by the park at some other date. And then besides the good luck card, I prayed. I prayed for the hottest day. I said, it should be hot. It should be humid. I did not pray for rain because that would have been evil.
Right.
that was just not nice. But after their event, I called to see how their event was. And she said, oh, my gosh, that was the worst event we ever did. We should have listened to you. Steve forgot to bring the ice. So-and-so didn't bring enough charcoal. The coals weren't big enough. The grills weren't big enough to fit all the food on. People were hungry. They were cranky. We are booking with you next year.
I'm but like, how was yes. the weather?
Oh, the weather was so hot and sticky. It was bad.
It worked. It was like but 90. It didn't rain.
No, I didn't ask for rain. I thought that would be too mean. I do have a rain dance so that people come to the park after it stops raining. But anyway.
Oh, that's great.
So, by the way, the way my brain thought was, hey, I should start going to the park every day and see who's got these big picnics and stalk them until they come to. I didn't do it. I just thought it
was yeah.
idea. But, you know, that disappointment, anybody else would have just taken it like as a setback and maybe not. That I said, how can we flip it and turn it into something positive? And they came to us the next 4 years, plus all the other groups inside their corporation came to us. So by not giving up and by being, you know, not overly persistent, but giving them everything they needed to make their decision, even though they did not initially go with us.
But so that was, you know, another thing that I was wondering too, is that, you know, when you've got, you know, a large group that, you know, not only is that, you know, the immediate, you know, group business at that time, maybe it's, you know, maybe say 30 people, but now you've got 30 or maybe, you know, 29 minus the person who's hosting that group, prospective, you know, future groups for your prospective future business. And, you know, I'd be curious as to like some of the best like, ways, you know, whether it's a birthday party or, you know, or a corporate event or like whatever it is, to engage the guests of that group to then encourage them to be booking in the future. I don't know, like if it's, you know, giving out a flyer to every birthday kid to bring home to their parents, is that, you know, does that look kind of shady or is that, you know, a traditional best practice?
You're so close. It is a really great practice. However, what we do is we make sure that that birthday party flyer is in every party room so that the moms or dads that are still hanging out can pick up that flyer. For camps, gotcha. For camps, this is like, I don't know if I want to share this best practice, but you know, I never hold anything back. If you've ever sent your kid to a camp, you know that they go on trips occasionally and the kids come home and they say, oh, how is it? Well, where'd you go? Someplace. I don't remember what trip was today. So what we used to do for the campers is as they were getting on the bus, who wants a sticker? And we would sticker all the kids. Mm-hmm. Had the best time at, you know, or we learned to drive at Fairway or whatever we had. So we loved the stickers.
So you turn them into walking billboards.
Exactly. I thought about giving them all t-shirts, but that's kind of pricey. but you know, the parent then has, oh, you went to Fairway. Well, what did you do? Oh, I got to go on the go-karts and I got, you know, and it's just, you see that they're excited. So that's really important. But going back to your question in terms of what is the best tip that I can give you, make sure that their trip or event or party is so memorable that they can't wait to come back.
Love it.
Make sure that they are all raving. That was the best party. That was the best event. Oh my gosh, they brought us over free ice pops. Oh, you know, it started to rain. They did, you know, they just, you want that word of mouth, and especially with all the social and digital that's out there now, you want them out there as your sales team.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of your satisfied guests, whether they're part of groups or not, are now an extension of your marketing team. Well, exactly. And marketing and sales team.
And even if they're not satisfied, they're hurting your marketing efforts. I should say, especially if they're not satisfied. So,
they're your competitors, Mark.
Exactly. You know, and I'm
basically,
I will, you know, admit I'm not the, you know, the all in all of sales, and I defer to both of you on that. But that's another sort of point that I think I was kind of trying to make a little earlier, was that, you know, the part of the sales process is not just, or the entire sales process isn't just when you sign the deal and you get them into your facility. It's, you know, continuing that relationship, you know, making sure that they're having such a great time that, you know, it almost sells the next one on its own, you know, and it makes the sale that much easier for you.
Matt, you're so on target. What I should have said, and I'm sorry I didn't say it earlier, my rock star girl, she'll tell you it has nothing to do with the sale. The sale is not as important as the relationship.
Mm.
That relationship has got to be established and has to be key. That even if, let's say, her biggest group called and said, you know, I'm really sorry, we've been there for 5 years, we have to move it because the entire committee said that, instead of her saying, no, come back, she'll say, let me refer you to 3 other parks that will do an amazing job. And there's silence on the other end of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're sending us to your competitor? So, well, I want to send you to a place that will do a great job. I'm even going to call and tell them the 2 special needs that you have and how to deliver on that. So you know that relationship, the next year, they come right back to her.
Sure.
And that relationship selling is more important than just, you know, check I did it.
Yeah.
And it ties into the follow-up. So I think Josh asked me a few minutes ago, like, what else? And having signage at your place is really important. They're your silent salespeople, even if they're there for a birthday party. You know, did you know we do retirement parties, sales meetings, christenings, confirmations, retirement, whatever it is, and you list it. It's like, wow, I never thought about having a Sweet 16 here, or, oh, I didn't think about having a bachelor party here. You know, you need to have the whole component all together. And I will also give you 2 other tips, maybe 3. Do I have time for 3 more? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I think we got as much time as we need.
So taking that person that you had such an amazing event for, and doing that wow moment, something special, something different, automatically you have got to send them a thank you note. Yes, an old-fashioned, handwritten thank you note. The other thing that we will do for that group leader is say, we know you were so busy taking care of all of the people at your party, you didn't have a chance to enjoy our amazing park. Here's a family fun pack. Please come back on us.
Mm.
We'll have them do, depending on the size, and by the way, that let me go back to that family fun pack. We had an event that was, I think, 6 or 8 camp buses that came in from the same camp. And their camp leader was running around, not over the kids, trying to get the staff to be where they needed to be. And if you've done group sales, you know, the kids are awesome, the staff, hit or miss. And I stopped him before he got on the bus, gave him 2 cold bottles of water just for him, and I gave him a family fun pack because I didn't want him to even wait for the thank you note, saying, your efforts to keep this group, you know, where they needed to be were so appreciated. My staff is raving about how great your campers and counselors were. He said, campers, yes, counselors, not so much today. So I gave that to him at, I want to say they left the park at 4:00. I'm always in super early. The next morning, my phone was ringing starting at 7 a.m. and we opened at 9. And I'm answering it. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. That camp director sent me 5 other camps. 5. Just because I gave him 2 bottles of water and that extra fun family fun pack. Of course,
which was a really low investment. right?
Really?
It was a really, really small cost to get substantial business out of.
Exactly. It's what it, do you realize, are you taking care of the person who is bringing you the business? Do you know, yeah. I still know that person's birthday. I still send him a birthday message. Just the littlest
That's awesome.
Thing. You know, all right, so here's a crazier part of the story. Fast forward 10 years later, I'm in New Jersey. I usually don't work in Jersey, by the way, helping a family fun center. And the phone rings, and the girl had not been trained properly on group sales yet. And I hear her struggling on the call. And I ask her to put it on hold. And I ask her, you know, let me just give you a couple quick tips. And she said, can you just take this call over for me? I said, absolutely. I take it over. I go through my thing. And I'm listening to the voice. I said, by chance, is this Mr. B? And he said, yes. I said, Mr. B, it's Cheryl. He goes, oh, my God, we had the best time. I'm so mad at you. Why did you close the park? I was like, now he yelled at me about that. I said, I promise you, by the time you get here, this park is so ready for you. They will do the two extra things that I promised we would always do for you. And just, but the odds of that happening were slim to none. And I said to them, if you deliver on an amazing experience for this gentleman, you'll get five other camps within a week. He's like the tester for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see what else we can tell you to engage them and get them to come back. We also, and I do this as a contest, I sit there and say, okay, let's see which one of my clients can come up with the most creative gift basket for the least amount of money, but it looks like, wow. And for the holidays, they get to deliver those gift baskets to the bigger groups that came to their park. Doesn't cost them a lot. Just a nice little thank you.
That's amazing. And, you know, I think the big emphasis is just on those small investments with those massive ROIs. And in our industry, there are so many things that we have that are of such high value that are of little and in some cases no cost to the business that, I mean, those should absolutely be in your toolbox to be generating loyalty, to be, you know, giving those out, not giving away the farm, but strategically, you know, providing those as a value add. To just really show that you're committed to the relationship and keeping the business and gaining referral business from it.
So that's really good, Josh, because the one thing I forgot, I got sidetracked on Mr. B, is having a referral program. Do you have a formal referral program? And the other thing you brought out, which made me say, oh, I forgot to mention this. We all have redemption counters, or we all have items that are sitting around. When it gets down to those onesie twosies and you can't figure out how to, you just can't part with them. They've been in your stock room for 3 years, but you know, that was a really cool thing then. One man's trash is another man's treasure. If you use those and put them in those gift baskets, wow, looks bigger, better, and really awesome, and they're excited to get it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's unexpected. Which is that? That's the wow moment, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
So here's a really fun, unexpected one. For your biggest groups that are coming in, we all have our cell phones. Go out and take pictures of all of them having fun. I forgot the app that I use. I'll have to look that up. And it puts it into a little video presentation. Send that as an email to them. And say, hope you had a great time at your event.
That's cool.
That is cool.
And you know what? If you've got, you know, if you've got an iPhone with at least one of the last few iOS versions, you can actually do that as part of your Photos app. You can make kind of just a little montage, and you can even kind of select the theme, and it it like selects the music type for it. So that's really cool. I never thought of doing it from that standpoint, but yeah, it's cool that it's built into that. Into the Photos app as is. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the real secret behind the curtain. You've got a lot of people in your park. How do you know who's with that group?
That's true.
Matt?
You may not. depending on what they're doing.
Ah, what would Cheryl do? I make sure that I give that group a special color wristband.
I was just going to say, give them wristbands.
I should have come back to you, Josh. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It took me a second to think of it.
So, A, I give them the wristband so that I know that everybody who's wearing that neon green VIP one is all with Johnson & Johnson. Well, actually, they'd get red because I theme it and tie it together. But those are just a little simple way. You are going to get others inside of it, but they're going to say, I can't believe you knew everybody who was at our event. Like, yeah, well, I made sure I got it when you were all eating together. That's like a good thing. You're right. All getting a wristband. You know, at certain points, you know, I don't share all my tips and tricks with them. But, you know, they're just little things that you do that go above and beyond.
Well, and that's sort of the trend I'm noticing about a lot of things we're talking about that, you know, they're not huge investments, but they just take some thought. They just take some care, you know, whether it's taking somebody's picture or putting some little swag in their packet or whatever it is, or, you know, taking some pictures of them and then, you know, emailing them a quick little video. You know, it just takes someone with a little bit of initiative and someone that cares about it. And I think that goes back to what you talked about in terms of, you know, finding people that have a passion and they're driven by, you know, getting good results and serving others. And, you know, it's really the little things that make a difference.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, when we talk about delivering that little wow, certain parks I work with that are spread really thin, I will say, here's your job. On the weekends when you're, you know, crushing it, you need a person who's just your DOW. Like, what? Your director of wow. Whether it's walking around and handing out a sticker, whether it's walking around and saying, hey, we saw you just spilled your soda. Here's a complimentary one on us, you know, before they have to go find somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that extra, and depending on the size of your park, you may need one in different zones. It's making sure that they really take care of the guests, take care of the people. Right. And you were right. You have to care.
Yeah. You have to care. And I have to say, I have really cared and enjoyed all the cared about and enjoyed all the things you've shared with us, Cheryl. So thank you very much, so much for your time and for all of your ideas and all the things you've been able to share with us. And I know I've learned some things, and I hope that everybody that's listening has learned quite a few things.
Well, I thank you both so very, very, very much for the opportunity to be on this amazing session with you podcast. I thank the audience especially for taking time out of their day. I always say, you know, if you're investing time in growing, that's awesome. And hopefully they have a few golden nuggets. If they have any questions, they can shoot me an email. They can send me at any type of form. I answer on every platform there is. I think it's really awesome that they are part of your community, and I'm honored to be able to share with them.
So, Cheryl, can you share your email just in case people don't have it?
Absolutely. Thank you. It's Cheryl with an S for sales and solutions. S-H-E-R. You guys are laughing at me. S-H-E-R-Y-L, Cheryl, at Cheryl Golf, S-H-E-R-Y-L-G-O-L-F.com.
Awesome.
Fantastic. And you're also available on LinkedIn. I know you're on Twitter too, right?
LinkedIn, Twitter, you name a platform, I'm there. I answer as quickly as I can. Every now and then I'm on the road working with clients, so if you don't hear from me, it means they're getting my attention at that moment. But we're pretty good about getting back really fast. And
absolutely.
Hopefully everybody will take some of these tips, and I say this all the time, ideas are a dime a dozen. Implementation could be worth millions. I say go back, listen to this, and if you've been to Panera Bread, you pick two. Just pick two ideas that you learned from today and go and implement them.
Well, I think there's going to be a hard time narrowing it down to two. So if I'll say this, if you have to pick more than two, that's fine too. Well, this was absolutely phenomenal. Cheryl, thank you so much for blocking out so much time with us. And just this, this conversation was just amazing. We could probably keep going. And I know that we've already turned this into a two-part episode. We can probably turn it into a three-part, I'm sure. But in the interest of time, maybe we'll hold off on that for maybe a future podcast date. Thank you again so much for joining us. And to all of you out there listening, as usual, thanks for being Attraction Pros.
Thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Attraction Pros podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to drop us a line on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, and make sure to follow us on all the social channels.
And make sure you've subscribed to the show so you can get the latest episodes every single week. Also, if you're new to the show, be sure to check out all the great episodes and guests we've featured in the past.
And if you want to learn more about Matt and Josh and check out the best articles for you to operate your attraction most successfully, be sure to visit us at attractionpros.com.